expose my mind to clarity. Oh, my spirit shudders. Capture the moment, oh, to keep my sanity. And the wisdom rushing in. So much clearer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Oh Shoot. We have a guest on the podcast today, and I'm super excited because we're going to see like a different perspective into the wedding industry today. I am chatting with Ruth Onea, and she's so talented. I'm super excited. So, Ruth, why don't you just introduce yourself, tell everyone who you are, and a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, sure. My name is Ruth Onea. I am a artist and a small business owner. My brand is Ruth Onea Illustrations, and I do live wedding paintings and custom artwork, really just everything creative. I also design, and I do watercolors and paint homes and pets. So really, art is just my thing.
Yeah, cool. So how did you get into the creative industry? Like, have you always been creative? Kind of like take me back to that time.
Yeah, so I have always been creative. I started drawing probably when I was like 15. When my family moved to the States, I'm originally from Kenya. I was really just bored. And so I kind of picked up a pencil, and it's just been history since then. And really in the creative industry, I was able to intern for a photographer. And they showed me that couples really like artwork, especially mm-hmm. watercolor and things like that. And so I was able to start selling that way.
Okay, cool. So how did you get started in that internship with the photographer? Like what got you, I guess, because like you don't do photography. So like what kind of got you into that internship?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I did graphic design, and I was looking for an internship, and she was looking for a graphic design intern. And so I would do like her books, you know, like the albums and things like that. I'll just kind of put all the photos together for her. And then when she found out I could paint, because I really didn't advertise myself or anything like that. It was just something I happened to bring up in a conversation. And she was like, she would like to see my work. And once I showed her some of my stuff, she started giving me little pieces to work on, like wedding cakes and bouquets, like just little trinket that she wanted to have when she does like flat lays. And okay. So, yeah. And then she mentioned, you should probably think about working with weddings because they really love this kind of stuff. And that kind of put me into that rabbit hole.
Oh, cool. That's cool that you had someone in your life that just was like, hey, I think you should do this. You're good at it. You know, sometimes like it just takes that one person saying something and then it just turns into a whole career, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Because I didn't consider it. I didn't go to school thinking I'll do art for a living. It was just really something I did for fun. I never even thought what making money from it would look like.
Mm-hmm. So you said you have a graphic design degree. Do you feel like what you learned in school, like you still apply it to what you do with like your illustrations and paintings and stuff?
I think so. And having a graphic design degree has definitely helped me in the branding aspect. That can get really pricey. So I'm able to create my own logo, my website. I'm very hands-on, all the creative in my business. And I've taken some of the things that I've learned in graphic design and kind of implemented it there. And I do some digital artwork as well. So I'm able to kind of mix everything, bring them together in a sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know a lot of the times with creatives, it's kind of like 50-50. Like some people think you should get a degree. And other people are like, oh, you don't need it. So it's interesting to hear how you've been using your degree in a field where it seems like maybe you wouldn't need a degree, but it sounds like it's been super helpful, you know?
I think if I had to choose a degree, graphic design would definitely be it. Because I just feel like art in general, there's different ways you can learn it other than school. But graphic design, particularly the programs, those you kind of need to be able to get hands-on experience with those.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. Yeah, that's amazing. So you now do full-time paintings, like your illustrations business. Can you walk me through, like, what from the internship to now, like, what did that look like with, like, going full-time? And, you know, did you have other jobs? Like, how did you know you were ready to go full-time? Just, like, bring me back to the whole story.
Yeah, so after I finished the internship, I kind of just decided to do art as a side gig during college, and I was able to just bring in small income with that. And then when I graduated college, I was able to get hired as a graphic designer immediately, which was great. Being a graphic designer, I really realized the office is not for me. I did not, especially with like the time change and it gets dark really early. I realized that I think I would like to pursue art more. And after I graduated, I needed a different side of art that brings in more money, honestly. And even though I was doing the watercolors, those I could only charge so much. And so one day I was scrolling on my Instagram and I saw a live painter and I was like, that looks interesting. I think I can do that. So I did my first wedding. I hated it. And I was like, you know what? Let me not decide from here. And so I decided to give it a few more tries and it really just stuck since then.
Okay. That's really cool. The comment you made about the office life not being for you, it's so funny because it's so specific, like about it getting so dark so early. But like that was actually something that I really struggled with too in the office because like I couldn't go home. Like I had these strict hours that I had to be there. And now I make my schedule kind of based around lighting, which is funny. But like, you know, when the sun goes up, I feel like I'm up. And then when the sun goes down, like I don't want to keep working. So that's something that I feel like I really relate to. And it really pushed me into full time too. Another thing that you mentioned, your first wedding that you got, how did you get that wedding? Like, what did that process look like? Because you had never done that before.
Yeah, so it was actually a full circle moment. When I decided I wanted to try live painting, I reached out to the lady that I interned with. And I just said, hey, I want to try this out. Is there any way you could have me at one of your weddings as like a gift for your bride? I'm not charging you. I just need the space because I feel like practicing at home is just not the same as being there. And she was like, yeah, come on. And I went and did a wedding and And it was nice having her there because it was comfortable knowing there was somebody I knew as well. So
That's awesome. That's a really good first experience. And that just goes to show that it is good to have community and connections within the wedding industry. I think that's how a lot of people get their foot in the door. Like the hardest thing is getting that first or second booking because you have no experience before that, but you were able to use like your previous connections and really use it to your advantage.
Yeah. I was very, very thankful. And then the question about going full time. Since after college, I worked for a small agency for like 2 years and I was ready to quit after I felt like, you know, this really is not for me, but it just never felt right. Like the timing didn't feel right. And then COVID happened and I was really happy I didn't quit because, you know, that would have been a really hard time to be in the wedding industry. But after COVID, the designers were actually let go. So I didn't really have a choice. So when they let us go, I had to decide, do I want to start looking for a new job or do I want to give 100% to this business and see kind of where I can go with it if I put all my energy. Because while I was working a full-time job, I will work 9 to 5 in the office and then I'll go home. And from like 7 to midnight, I'll do watercolors and paintings. And it just took a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to see what it would feel like just balancing that one thing.
Yeah. Do you think you would have gone full-time if you hadn't been let go during COVID?
I think so. I think I would have definitely, I don't think it would have been as quick though. Probably 2 months down the line.
Okay. Yeah. That's just interesting. Everyone has these experiences from COVID. I know for me, it really strengthened my business on like one side of it, but then the actually photographing weddings kind of hurt a little bit, but like it kind of opened the door for another avenue of my business. So COVID was really hard, but it did open a lot of cool opportunities, like just different things for people. And it kind of pushed people into uncomfortable circumstances that they wouldn't have been in otherwise, like for you.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your live paintings. This is just so fascinating to me. So I guess my first question for you is like, why did you want to start doing live paintings in the first place at weddings? Like, was there like a moment where you're like, I'm really passionate about it? Or was it just because you had experience with that photographer? Like what kind of was your reason that you wanted to do it?
I think the experience with the photographer really kind of helped form what market I wanted to go into with my art. I wouldn't say I was truly passionate about weddings because I still didn't know a lot about weddings. I'd barely been to much weddings, but I do like weddings and I love celebrating people and I love love. And I've gotten to see so many beautiful weddings and I feel like I really just wanted to see what will happen if I gave it a try. I didn't really go in it thinking it would last as long as it did. I actually didn't expect it to take like 80% of my business. I thought it would be more like maybe 40%, something I do once a month. So yeah, I was kind of surprised when it took off.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that your first wedding you hated. What specifically were like the things that during that wedding you were like, I just don't like this. This isn't for me. And then like what, I guess, were those things kind of debunked as you kept shooting or not shooting, kept doing live paintings at weddings later?
Yeah. So the funny thing is I'd never really painted people from real life. And I usually worked from photos, which is great to have photos and I can merge photos together that I need to. And so when I got there, I started painting the background and I was like, oh, I love the background. It looks perfect. And then the couple came in, I was doing their first dance. And when I went to add them into the painting, I realized that I made the background so large that to have them in there, they would have to be this small. and I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? And so I did just end up just putting them in there. And then also this, it was during this season. So this time change, I didn't account for that. So I painted the sky daytime. And by the time they did their first dance, which was outside, it was nighttime. And so I had to change that. And then I was also not used to people like watching me right there. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of nerves going on. I didn't expect them to be so close. but yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a few live painters at weddings and it's just so like, I just feel like I just want to watch them the whole time. And I'm sure that's just a lot of pressure that you feel like you can't mess up or anything. How do you deal with that pressure on a wedding day of just like everyone watching you?
In the beginning, it was a little bit more intense But now I feel like I'm pretty comfortable in what I do. I just think in the beginning I was still so uncertain of what I was doing. I was afraid to mess up. And I didn't really know how I was supposed to interact with the guests. But over time, really, I've been able to get really comfortable. I just kind of focus on what I'm working on. If they want to talk to me, they can talk to me. If they don't, they don't. But these days, I can't say that I feel a lot of pressure. I mean, some days I may feel a little bit, but I can't really say it's as stressful as it used to be.
Yeah, no, that's good. I feel like just naturally, as you get used to being present in a wedding day, you get used to the role. Yeah, it becomes less and less pressure. And it's cool that you were just able to deal with that pressure right off the bat. And just like, you kind of just embraced it, you know, like you didn't let it make you quit or look for something else to do. But you're like, I'm just going to embrace this and just see where it can go. And I think that's like a really good sign that you're doing things right, you know?
Yeah, I really tried to not make the bad, or like, I guess bad is not a good word, but the bad experiences that I felt like I had in the beginning, I tried to make sure that doesn't impact the full experience of it, just because I'd seen other artists who were successful with it. And I'm also an introvert, so I think I tried to give myself more chances out there, because I just know in the back of my head, I'm kind of calculating and creating a more negative feeling that's really there. So I have to really just get comfortable with the time.
Yeah, I am introverted too. And I didn't even realize that I did that until you just said that just now. I do need to give myself more chances.
Yes, because just the first one is not going to do it. It's,
right.
It's, you feel uncomfortable. You just, the second one probably is not going to do it either. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to, I have to put myself out there.
Yeah, that's a really good lesson. I want to talk to you more about like the live painting process. I'm super interested to know kind of like what it looks like before a wedding for you and your clients. Like, what are some of the prep things that you do and like your communication points with them? Like, obviously I'm a photographer, so it's different, but I'm interested to hear like what your pre-wedding process is like.
So like before the wedding day?
Yeah. Like, do you send that? Like, how do you even know what to paint? Like what they want? You know what I mean? Like, what's that process like?
Yeah. So usually when they reach out, I send them a brochure, like based on their location. And then they choose what they want and they go ahead and book me. And then we do a phone call. And during that phone call is when I kind of talk to them about exactly what they want. And kind of get a feel of the style that they're going for in their painting. So sometimes they like to bring up, oh, I saw you did this other wedding, and I feel like I want my painting to look similar to that one. And so I'll kind of get to know what they're really feeling.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That makes sense. Do you ever feel like you've had clients who have been like disappointed or not, you know, like unhappy clients before? And if so, like, how do you deal with that?
I'd say it's a rare occurrence. But the one or two times that it has happened, I kind of deal with it case by case. Just because it also depends how the client approaches it. You know, if you're rude to me, I really have to like see how the situation is. And if you're nice, you know, it just really depends on the whole situation. But most of the time, my job is to make my clients happy. So if they're really that disappointed, you will get your refund. And most of the time, it depends also on what they're disappointed in. So for example, if you're disappointed in the style that I'm painting in, that is something I cannot fix. If you're disappointed in my color palette, you know, my colors, I really have a certain style that I paint in. So things like that, I really can't make changes to. But if you are not happy with how something particularly looks, I can definitely make edits to that, to whatever makes you happy, and then we can move forward from there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's amazing. And I think it's important when you have clients that, like you said, like some people come to you like rude or just like, like to really give it a couple days on your end and on their end. My sister just dealt with something with her apartment complex where they sent her this email and she was so mad about it. And she told me she gave herself like 2 or 3 days because she was so hot-headed about the situation and just didn't feel right responding in that time frame because she was like, I literally couldn't think of anything nice to say. So I think it's important if people are rude to you to just give it time because, you know, they need time to cool off as well.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't respond in those situations like immediately. I do try to because it really messes with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I just try to make sure that I give myself time to process what they're saying and to take the anger out of it if they're mad or anything like that, and kind of see what the issue is exactly. Because most of the time it's something I can fix or it's a misunderstanding.
Good
thing about it.
That's a really good approach. I like that. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your pricing. You don't have to share like what your prices are, but how did you kind of figure out what you wanted to charge, you know, per wedding? Like, what was that whole process like? I feel like it, like art is really hard to charge for. We're jumping into an ad real quick to talk about AfterShoot. Did you know that in 2023, AfterShoot helped photographers edit and cull over 1.15 billion images? They offer AI-assisted editing and AI-assisted culling to make your editing process streamlined and super quick. AfterShoot's AI culling software will select your blurred images, closed-eyed images, your duplicates, and groups them all separately for your convenience, which means you can select and review hundreds of photos in just minutes using AfterShoot. Trust me, I know how long it takes to select and review hundreds, if not thousands, of photos from a wedding or a session. And honestly, we don't have time for that. We have better things to do with our business. They also offer a personal AI editing profile. All you have to do is import your edited catalogs and you'll begin to train a custom profile that will imitate your style and do a bulk of the editing task for you. You can also check out their marketplace, which offers 30 pre-built AI styles for photographers looking to try fresh and new editing styles. These pre-built styles are super easy to preview and you can apply the ones you like in just a few clicks. With AfterShoot, there's no more paying per image. You get unlimited culling and editing for a flat fee. The software also works offline, so you can literally work anywhere and everywhere. Their customer support is available 24/7. AfterShoot also has a fantastic 5-star review on Trustpilot, so you can know they're legit and here to help you. AfterShoot is offering OShoot listeners a free 30-day trial. I promise your editing workflow is going to be absolutely changed after trying AfterShoot. Head on over to the link in the description to claim your 30-day free trial of AfterShoot. Thanks so much for listening. And now back to the show.
You know, it was very tricky. I feel like there's books out there that tells you how much to charge. I've talked to other, like, you know, live painters and seen how much they charge. But I really, over the years, I've kind of gone up as I've gotten more experience. So I'd say like my first wedding was probably like $400 and I was there for like 8 hours. And I was just like, it's okay. You know, just as long as I'm building my portfolio. But now that I've gotten to the point where I know what I'm worth, I know my style, I've been able to really just kind of calculate the canvas plus the materials plus my time. And since I don't finish it at the wedding, I also do bring it back to my studio and I give it a lot of hours. So just kind of all those together add up the total.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Do you kind of show like a rough edited version at the end of the wedding and like show the couple, or do you not really show them anything at the wedding?
When I have a phone call with them, I ask them if they want to see it. I let them know that it's not going to be finished, but it will be a very close lookalike to what they will receive. And some couples say, no, thank you. I'll see when it's finished. And others are like, oh, no, I want to see what you're doing or like how it looks like. And I just try to give them a disclaimer this is not the final look. If your leg looks funny, do not worry about it. I'm going to fix it. And then you can say something when I send you an image later on.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to set the expectation beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of the last question on this topic. I just wanted to hear if you had any like big lessons that you've learned being a live painter that maybe you want to share with the listeners, just from your experience so far.
I would say practice and patience makes perfect. I think in the beginning I was so eager to know my style of painting, to know exactly what I was doing. And I didn't really take the time to kind of sit back and kind of just let my hands do whatever they produce. Because as an artist, it's really weird how your paintings just kind of come out a particular style without you even trying to. And I know in the beginning, I really struggled with, I really want to know what my style is. And I would look at other paintings and I'd be like, I really wish it was that style. And so I really learned how to be patient with myself and also just practicing every day and painting every day. That's really helped me know what my style looks like and really perfect my craft in the long run. So it takes time. It takes practice.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice. That applies to photography too. Like, you really need the practice. Like, I feel like you can't know your style if you don't even know how to do it in the first place, you know? Like you have to actually know how to do like the techniques and all of that in order to be like, okay, this is the style I prefer. And you really can't rush it. Like, you really can't, because it just takes time of almost like finding yourself within your art, you know, like figuring out what is your personality within this art form. Does that make sense?
And I even like would buy famous artist books just to look through and see, you know, oh, I like impressionistic and realism. Like, how do I want to not copy necessarily, but be inspired by those styles? But I really realized my hand just does what it wants to do. And at the end of it all, though, I'm very happy with the style that's come out of it. And it's even hard for me to switch. Like, if I was to try to make a painting that was more, wasn't as saturated with the colors, it's quite difficult for me because my mind just automatically knows what colors to mix. And at the end of the day, it makes a certain saturation of, you know, paint. So, you know,
right.
Really thankful that I didn't, that I gave myself grace in that aspect.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I literally love that. That's amazing. I'm so glad you found your style too, because it's beautiful. So, so amazing. So for the next kind of topic that I was hoping we could chat about, I want to talk about creativity. Because your job, like, okay, doing wedding photography does require creativity, but I feel like your job is even more creative, like on a wedding day. So kind of walk me through, like, do you ever feel not creative on a wedding day or like have a creative rut, and how do you deal with that?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes, some days I just wake up and I feel like I forgot how to paint on that particular day. And it's a huge struggle. And so usually what I do is, like, let's say I'm trying to paint an acrylic painting and it's just not coming together. The face is not doing what it's supposed to do. My colors are not doing right. I shift into a different medium. So I'll go to watercolor instead, or I'll go to something digital. And that usually kind of helps balance me out, because sometimes I can paint, you know, a whole month every day I'm painting in acrylics. And I feel like my brain just gets tired, and kind of a way to take a break from that is, you know, go to a different medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that. In photography, it would be like switching your lens or like trying film instead of shooting digital. Yeah. Because it does feel sometimes it's almost like I keep seeing the same perspective over and over and over again. Like I need something different because it's just like, sometimes I feel like we create these, almost like a pattern within art. Like, you know, you create a pattern of like, I always, you know, I paint the first dance or I paint the first kiss. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like you do the same thing. Maybe you start with the background and then you whatever. And for us, it's like, you know, we kind of do all the same poses and the same angles. And it's like you really do kind of have to step back and switch something up. Otherwise, you feel like you're in this never ending cycle of lack of creativity, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Another question I had for you on this topic. Is there anything like besides switching mediums, like that you would physically do, like, I don't know, like go for a walk or something that really helps with like re-sparking your creativity?
Actually, I don't think so.
It's okay if you don't.
I don't think so because I spend so much time painting. And I do sometimes forget how to live outside of the studio. But I will say my friends do stop by sometime here and they'll force me to go on a walk or we'll go get lunch in the just a completely different, you know, room and view to kind of relax my eyes. Usually that's the goal for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. With your studio and stuff, because if anyone's listening, Ruth has like a studio where she like works and paints and stuff. How do you feel like you balance all of this, like work-life balance? Like, do you schedule when you're going to paint? You know, like, because you, I feel like you could get lost in a painting. Like, how does your schedule and work-life balance work?
That's something that I am currently working on. For the past like 2 years, there was a very blurry line in between work and life. And at first, before I had my studio, all my art, I used to do it at the house and there was completely no line. I used to wake up, go straight to the painting room and then go back to bed. Like, and so now at least I have, my house where I can just go and rest and I don't take any art home. But it's definitely difficult. I do love what I do. But like some busy seasons, I can't get away. It feels wrong to get away from work.
I get that. It's almost like you have a little bit of guilt. Like I know I could be getting this done tonight. Or maybe sometimes I feel like sometimes people feel like their clients are watching them on social media. And when they do something besides work, they're like, why aren't you working on my photos or my painting? So I feel like that contributes to the guilt too.
Yes, there's definitely a guilty feeling. And these days I try to be very intentional with my calendar. Actually, this year I got a Google calendar that's like completely color-coded. Everything is put on there and like from my morning routine to when I take breaks and days off. So I really try to be intentional about putting important dates like my friends when they have birthdays and things like that. Just because my life and my work is so put together, sometimes I forget everything else and I forget to make time for personal relationships and things like that. So yeah. I've been really intentional in my schedule.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's funny how we quit these like corporate jobs so that we could have more time for ourselves, right? And like we can make our own schedules. And then we end up working ourselves into the ground and working 24/7 to where we don't have any time to do anything else. It's just so funny how it's like, either way, we just don't prioritize work-life balance. Like no matter what, if you're in a corporate office or an entrepreneur, it just doesn't happen.
It does. And I really do say like, if somebody is thinking about going, you know, being their own self-employed, I feel like it takes a special kind of person just because you get to control your time. And if you really don't manage well, you will work every single hour of your day. and really never have any time. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. The management is key. Maybe someone listening is going to go and color code a Google Calendar now.
Yes. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, that's what I do too. I have like different colors mean different things in my calendar. Like red for me means I have to like post something, or like green means I have like a call, you know. It does help visually.
It does. And I put like little emojis, so like, I don't know, that does something to my soul.
It just makes you happy. Yes. Let's talk about the business side of things since we're talking about calendars and stuff. Obviously you're a creative, and when you sign up to be a creative, that doesn't always mean that you sign up to run a business. You know, it's like completely different. So what was it like for you to learn the ins and outs of running a business of the wedding industry, apart from just being the artist? Like how was that whole process like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of trial and error. Some things work and some things don't. And also making friends in the industry, whether it's a photographer, a planner, other painters, those people who've been in the industry longer than me have so much knowledge that and most of the time they're really open and passing it down. So I have to be really thankful for the people I've been around. They've been able to give me some insight on things I should know. And, also Google, Google knows everything. So yeah. Google is one of the friends that I've made along the way. Just a lot of research. And every year I do try to look back at what I did the year previously, to kind of see what I want to move forward with that worked. Or what I don't want to, that I probably shouldn't do that.
I like that. Just like kind of reevaluating every year and being like, this worked, this didn't work. It's also good to know where your time goes into and like, is your time actually being spent well? You know, so that's a good thing to do at the beginning of every year. I mean, it's January right now, so.
Well, who knows? Well,
yeah, so it's really good to just reevaluate every year. That's a really good lesson. Within your business, is there one or two like specific business lessons that you've learned that have really changed the way that you look at your business or the way that you look at things?
Yeah, actually, I think I just mentioned this. Time is really important. Other than being an artist, I feel like the other valuable thing in my life is really time. Just because being self-employed, like I said, you getting to choose when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you do this, when you do that, and you can easily waste time. I used to have days where they would just go by and I'm like, what did I do those days? Because why are these not complete? But it feels like I did nothing for the past 3 days. So... just really managing my time and keeping a schedule, and also giving myself realistic timelines and deadlines, just because I tend to be very optimistic about how quickly I can paint. And sometimes, you know, I just need a little bit more time. So being realistic with that has been really, really helpful in learning over time.
Yeah. I don't know if you feel like this, but like when I am like working on my schedule and stuff, or like you mentioned like, oh, I just worked 3 days. I feel like I did nothing. Like, I feel like I'm the type of person that will start on a project. Let's say my project is batching like content or something. I start on that, and then it brings me to TikTok, and then I get distracted for a little bit. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to reply to this email. And then I go over to my emails, start doing a few emails, you know, like I'm literally like all over the place. Unless I physically write out from 9 to 10 a.m., I'm doing this. 10 to 11 a.m., I'm doing this. Do you feel like that is you too, or are you more disciplined than me?
See, I'm not exactly like that. I'm more like, let's say I'm working on something and I think about, oh, I need to respond to that email. I'll make a note of it. Ooh, and then I won't come to that note till a week later or 2 weeks later. And I'm like, oh, I was supposed to do that. And so now I'm right on my calendar. It kind of is right on my face. So I just, 4 o'clock today, I need to do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm starting to implement is like, if I'm in the middle of making TikToks, I'm like, oh, I need to respond to this email, just writing it on a little note. And then like you said, getting to it at 4 p.m. or maybe the next day. So you're actually getting it done. Like you're remembering those things for a good reason. Like it's actually something you have to do, but you don't have to do it right that second, you know?
And I stopped putting it in my, I used to put it in my notes app. So I would have this long list of things I need to do. And then like once a week, I'll go through and see all these things that I needed to do. And now I stopped doing that. And I just put it straight on my Google Calendar as like a task. And this is not an ad. I'll put it straight on the calendar as a task at this time. So I remember, I don't have to do it today, but I probably have to do it tomorrow. It will not wait till next week. So that's really kind of helping me manage time.
Yeah, I like that. So you're like basically instantly scheduling it to get done.
Yes. Because I would have written it on my note anyways. So I just not write it where I know I'll have to do it later on.
Yeah. I feel like that note is almost like a way to procrastinate a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I'm definitely a procrastinator.
Same. Definitely. Okay, so let's talk about social media, because that's actually how I found you, was through social media. So I would love to hear a little bit about how you juggle doing social media, and how you keep up with it along with all the other business tasks that you have to do.
Social media for me personally is really tricky. I can have like a really good run for like 3 months where I post every week, and then I'll be dry for like whole 2 months where I don't post. And so I'm actually trying to make sure I add that to my schedule, to make sure that I make intentional time to post on social media. TikTok and Reels are a little bit different because I enjoy doing those just for fun. Like I love putting together the little videos, adding the music. So those I feel like I'm more eager to post. Whereas after I finish like the paintings behind me, I take photos of them and I plan to post them so people can see the finished product. And sometimes I just don't make time to post them as I should. So that's definitely something I'm kind of currently this year, I'm hoping to post more than before. Even on TikTok, just I think I've not really come to terms with the idea of being an influencer or like content creator, I guess that's the best way to put it. Because I have friends who tell me, oh, you should post, you know, you're doing this other little thing you're doing, like putting paint here and like the stuff you do in the studio. It just hasn't come together in my mind that I should be sharing those things. So I'm really trying to make sure I start recording those other elements because I feel like people will enjoy them. But just, I never think, oh, somebody wants to see me pour a top coat on my painting, or somebody wants to see me put, you know, things in the back of my canvas to hang it up. That's just work that I have to do.
Yeah, I would definitely watch a video of you pouring top coat onto your paintings. Social media is so funny because we as the creators are like, no one cares about this little thing that I'm doing. But then as consumers, I watch videos of people power washing their floors. Like literally, I will watch a video of quite literally anything. So it just does go to show, I think we overthink our content way more than we need to. And just having that content, even just recorded, like even if you just record it and you don't post it right away, it's good to just have it. So then maybe you come into a slow season, maybe you're in the winter, you don't have a lot of weddings anymore. Then you can go back and like go through some of that stuff and create content. You don't have to actively put into like work to film it. You already have it made, you know? It's just kind of like the forward thinking is hard sometimes.
And sometimes I just don't think about, just put my camera on the side and just do what I'm normally doing. I think, and it doesn't even take that long. It literally takes 30 seconds to just set it up. So
it's true.
That is definitely something that I need to do more of.
Yeah. If it did just take 30 seconds, I think a lot of people, like it does take 30 seconds, but I think it's more than just like actually setting it up. I think there's a whole like like a mental perspective behind all of it to why people don't set up the camera and hit record, you know, or even hit post too. Like there's a whole psychology behind just hitting post as well. Like it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah, no, it's true. Cause I've definitely recorded some things and I have it on my drafts and I'm thinking to myself, why haven't I not posted this already? But then you have to come up with a caption and it feels like a whole thing.
Yeah, it is a whole thing.
I feel validated.
Yes, I mean, yeah, it definitely is a struggle. And I think the more you do it, the less it feels like a task and the more you realize that hitting posts is actually helping you. Like it's not just something you're doing for fun. It's actually growing your business by hitting posts. And that just remembering that for me was really helpful. Just with like being consistent, just remembering that posting is actually benefiting me. You know,
I definitely have to remember that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about like, do you have a strategy for booking clients through social media? Like, have you booked clients through social media? And like, what's kind of the strategy behind getting those bookings?
So yeah, majority of my clients do come from social media. I'll say the top two is word of mouth and social media. And Instagram and TikTok being my top places. Really, I just post and then I hope it reaches the right people. And hopefully they like what they see and they reach out. I don't really have like a particular strategy for that right now.
Yeah, you're just posting. I mean, honestly, that probably means people just like your work. If you're just posting random videos, there's no strategy. It's like you're probably just doing good stuff, you know?
Now, it really makes me wonder what would happen if I actually put forth the full effort, you know?
Girl, so. Honestly, that's something to think about, too. So, okay, earlier you said that you will go like 2 months without posting. Are you talking about feed posts, like actual photos, but you still post videos or you just don't post for 2 months, period?
I mean, in those 2 months, I'll probably post a video or two.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be.
But
it'll
not
be
like...
Yeah, okay. Not consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a good lesson to learn too, because I mean, you're still booking from social media, even though you haven't posted in a couple of months. So, I mean, I think you need to be consistent? Yes. But also like, I don't think it's bad to take breaks either. It's not like your whole business is going to fall apart. Like your business didn't fall apart when you stopped posting.
True. Yeah. But just thinking in the long run of growing my business, I think I just really need to be more intentional when it comes to that, because that is the only way I get clients.
Right.
Majority of the time.
Mm-hmm. You got this. You can do it.
Thank you.
Of course. Well, I would love for you to tell everyone where they can find and follow you. I'm sure they all want to like see more of your work and just like see your videos and stuff. So yeah, let us know.
So on TikTok and Instagram, both ruthonea.illustrations. And I also have a website at ruthoneaillustrations.com.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for everyone to find your work. And honestly, I'm excited for you to like be more, like you said, you're going to be more consistent with videos. I see a whole future for you. Like I have a 5-year plan for you and I'm so excited.
We need to talk.
Yes. Yes. Well, thanks so much, Ruth, for coming on this episode. It was so great chatting with you. And I hope everyone listening has an amazing rest of their day.
Exposure. With all of the highlights and the shadows is my composure. All the layers above, all the edits and tweaks, I know her. I am messed, so done, need more time developing in my red room. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking it. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking you, taking you, taking you.
Oh, shoot.
getting a little bit higher. With every step I take, I'm getting good. Getting a little bit better. I'm climbing to the top. Never gonna stop. I'm getting good. Getting a little bit higher. With every step I take, I'm getting good. Getting a little bit better. I'm climbing to the top. Never gonna stop. I'm getting good. Oh, shoot.